Today's Shiur is Masechta Matzia Daf Hey. We will begin right at the beginning of Daf Hey Amud Aleph. As we have been learning the sugyas of Moed V'Mitzvos, that we know the Torah says that if somebody is Moed V'Mitzvos, he's Chai V'Shvua. And in the previous year, we were introduced to Machloikas of Rav Chiya and Rav Sheshes in a situation where we have a Moed V'Mitzvos with Halach. What does Halach mean? Where you confront me and you say, I owe you $100, and I admit that I owe you 50, but not only do I admit that I owe you the 50, I put the 50 on the table. Is that still considered a situation of Moed V'Mitzvos? And we learned that it's a machlokes of Rav Chiya and Rav Sheshes. According to Rav Chiya, that still remains a situation of Moed V'Mitzvos with a Zechiy of Shvua. According to Rav Sheshes, that is not considered a situation of Moed V'Mitzvos. Ask the Gemara, Olman Dama Halach Potter. That means, according to Rav Sheshes, that says that when you have a situation of Halach, you don't have a situation of Moed V'Mitzvos. Amai Itzrach Kra. Why do we need a Pasuk? As we discussed yesterday, and the Gemara is going to quote the Pasuk. Lemuti Karka Mishvua, to say that when there's a Moed V'Mitzvos regarding real estate, it's not a situation of Moed V'Mitzvos. And there's no Chiyuv Shvua. Ask the Gemara, Hakol Karka Halachu. By definition, every time when there's an argument over karka, it's halach. Why? Because if you come to me and you tell me I owe you property, and I agree to some, and I don't agree to the other, the property is here. Property can't go anywhere. So if halach is potter, every situation of Moed V'Mitzvos by karka is halach. So why do we need a special pasuk? Amalach answers the Gemara, Yisrach Kra. You know why you need a pasuk regarding karka? Is in a situation of Hecha the Chafa Babar Sichrim Iris, where the dispute is not over the property itself. Rather, I dug ditches or pits in your property, and that is an argument that I damage your property. Do I owe you for that or not? So it's not actual property itself, and that's what the Pasuk comes to teach us, that there too I'm Potter. And understanding this Teretz of the Gemara, there's two approaches, Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam says that even though the demand you're having to me is really a financial demand, I dug these things in your property and now I have to compensate you, so I owe you money. Still, where did I dig them? I dug them in property. So they are in the same category as karka. That's how the Rambam understands. The Ravid learns very differently. The Ravid learns that if indeed I dug in your property and I want to pay you for what I did, that would not be under the category of karka. The only time it falls under the category of karka is I say, yes, I did damage to your property, but I'll fix it. So then it falls into the category of karka. But if all that what's going to happen here is I'm going to pay you for what I did, then it would not be under the category of karka. The Mishnah Lamelech actually takes the opinion of the Ravid even one step further. The Mishnah Lamelech says that let's say I'll say to you that I dug a pit. And how did I dig a pit? I obviously took out earth. And now I don't have that earth. I want to bring different earth to fill the pit. That's already not karka, because it's not the earth that I took. The Shach says it depends if the property, according to the Ravid, if the property is repairable or it's not repairable. Actually, if we think about the machloikis of the Rambam and the Ravid, there are two very serious halachic issues that come up. One is, according to the Rambam, if I do damage to your property, I have to fix it. I have to pay to fix it. It's a financial obligation. So like in every financial obligation that we learned in Masechta Bava Kamma, at what moment do we assess it? We assess it at what the damage was when I made the damage. According to the Ravid, my responsibility is to repair the damage. And therefore, we don't assess it at what the damage was when I caused the damage. Rather, we assess it when I come to fix it, and maybe more or less than it was at the moment of the actual damage. Another nafka mina between the Rambam and the Ravid is, according to the Ravid, let's say I did this damage, and I say, I'll fix it. You have to accept that, even though you may not want me to be the one to repair your property. According to the Rambam, it's a financial obligation, and I can't just say, I'll fix it. You could force me to pay, and you'll get somebody to fix it. Inami, another reason why we need a special perslik by karka. As hech the tana kalim v'karkos, where you claim that I owed you kalim and property, the hoid of a kalim, the kofa v'karkos. I agree that I owed you kalim, and I don't owe you karka. The halach is that even though there's an element of kalim here, since the kfira was on karkos, it's not considered moid of a mixus, and I'm not chayv shvus. Toshma. We're going to learn this Gemara a number of times. And we learned the Gemara actually in respect of a Kama. The Tanya Rabbi Bachama. As we've learned, and we're going to quote the Pasuk soon, the Torah that teaches us the din, that a moid of a mixus is chayv shvua, the Torah says the words, Ashiyoymer ki huzeh. That's the Pasuk of moid of a mixus. Actually, that Pasuk appears in the parasha of Shoimrim. But we learned the Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuv Zayin Machloikish. There was one man that says, Ear of Parashas Shonukan. That even though this Pasuk appears in the parasha of Shoimrim, it really doesn't have anything to do with Shoimrim. It has to do with the regular Havo, where I deny that I owe you some of the money, not the rest, and that's what the Torah teaches us, that I have to pay, they have to make a Shavua. Ram Bacham disagrees. Ram Bacham says the Pasuk appears in the parish of Shoimrim, and it's a din in Shoimrim, that if you told me I'm holding, I'm watching something of yours, and then I deny part of it, that's what the Torah says, I have to swear by the mitzvahs. And the Gemara quotes that b'raisa. The Tani Rama Bachama, Abba Shoimrim, Tzricha Kfir B'mitzvahs V'ayda B'mitzvahs. We need to have by the mitzvahs. The four Shoimrim, Asher Mechinim, Hashoyel, Noisesoch V'asoicher. Now, if we'll learn, when we will, learn this Gemara, we'll actually learn that the way Rabbi Bachama understands that for there to be a Chiyuv Shvua Midaraisa by a Shomer, you will have had to have left by me three cows. One cow I'll say, I owe you. One cow I'll tell you, I never owed you. So we have here Midaraisa Mixus. And a third cow I'll say, I owed you, but if I'm a Shem Echinim, I'll say, for example, it was stolen, and we know a Shem Echinim is potter on Geneva. Now, isn't this a situation, Damalei Helich, where one of the cows, the cow that I'm admitting I owe you, is still here. And yet the Torah is saying that this is the situation of Moed B'Mixus. But according to Rav Sheshes, every situation of Moed B'Mixus doesn't have Helich, because if it's Helich, you don't swear according to Rav Sheshes. So how will we understand Rav Sheshes' opinion according to this Braisa? Says the Gemara, Loi. That is not the situation Rabbi Bacham is referring to. Rather, the situation is as follows. Domle Gimel Paris Masartelach. You say to me, I left by you three cows. Or Mesa Kulavipshir. And you say that I was negligent in watching them. And if I'm negligent in watching them, even if I'm a Shem Echinim, I'm Chayiv. Vomele. And I respond to you. Chada Lahayd Varmailam. One, you never left one of those cows. Second cow was Mesa Ba'inus, and the third cow, Mesa B'Pshia. Indeed, I was negligent. The Be'inim Shlumilach, and for that cow I agree I have to pay, but I have to pay for it. I can't give it back to you. It's dead. The Lav Helichu. And that's why it's not a situation of Helich. But indeed, were it a situation of Helich, even though the Torah, according to Rav Bachama, says Rav Sheshes, mandates a Shvua, here there would be no shvua, because there's no, it would be halach. Toshma. Now, what happens now in the Gemara is interesting. Let's just review what we've been learning. We began with a machloikis of Rav Chia and the Tanakama, if Maid of a Mixus applies by Edom. That's not my admission that creates a situation of Maid of a Mixus, rather it's your Edom. Again, just to say the case. Where you claim I owe you $100, I say I owe you nothing. But you have Edom that I owe you $50. And Rav Chiya was mechadesh that I have to swear. It's considered moed b'mitzvahs. And as we learned, Rav Chiya, the Gemara at least thought, proved that halacha. He learned it from a Kal V'Chomer that we learned yesterday, a tzara shava ve'erechon and piv. And the Gemara assumed that he was backing that up with our Mishnah. And then that turned out not to be the case. And that's how we got into our Mishnah perhaps being a case of Halach. And we got into the Sugya of Halach. And now we go back to the original Sugya. What is the din of Moed of a Mixus by Edom? which was the primary sugya here. This is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Tashma, so the Gemara addresses that subject. The Tana Avu, the Rebbe Apoichkui, the Rebbe Chia. Kamaisa, going back to his original rule, a Maida B'mixis with Edim. Mana Libiyotcha, the case that I just discussed, where you claim I owe you $100, for Halo Ayman, I tell you, Ein Lecha B'yodik Klum, I owe you nothing. The Edim Edim Ayesosh by Chamishim Zuz. But you have Edim that I owe you $50. Yochel Yishav Al Ashar. So we would think that perhaps this is a situation of Moed B'mixis. Tamaloyma Akol Avedi Ashiyoy Mekuzeh. And teaches us the Braisa. Ala Dos Bivat Mechayvay. It's only considered a Moed B'mixis what occurred through my admission. V'yat Mechayvay Ala Dos Edim. But if it created, if a situation of Maida B'mixis was created through Edim, that's not considered Maida B'mixis. Clearly, in dispute with Reb Chiya. Because according to Reb Chiya, with Edim, you have Maida B'mixis. Says the Gemara, Masnisis Karamas Aleid Reb Chiya, you're asking a question from a Braisa and Reb Chiya? Reb Chiya, Tanahu Upalig. Reb Chiya has a right to argue in the Braisa, because Reb Chiya is a Tanig, and we have a Machlaikis. Ask the Gemara, it's not just the Braisa that's our problem. The Krokama, the Tana quoted a Pasuk to prove that we don't have a situation of Maida B'mixis through Edim. Answers the Gemara, Hahula Maida B'mixis Ataina. That Pasuk that the Tana quoted is to teach us the basic din that Maida B'mixis is Chayiv Shvua. Ask the Gemara for her Krokama. But didn't he quote a Pasuk? Says the Gemara, Hahula Maida B'mixis Ataina. Ask the Gemara, so if we need the Pasuk to teach us the basic din of Maida B'mixis, how could this Avud Rav Praitki use it to teach us the din that by Edim it's not Maida B'mixis? Amalach, he responds to you, Ksiv hu v'ksiv zeh. The Torah writes two words, Ashiyoy merki hu zeh. Why did the Torah have to write the word hu and zeh? To teach us two dinim. One is that by Maida B'mixis that I admit I have to swear, but if it was created through Edim, I don't have to swear. What would Reb Chiya do with the who and the ze? Chad l'moed b'mitzvah t'atayna, that you are chay v'shvua, v'chad l'oidos Edim, that you're not chay v'shvua. V'idach, what would Reb Chiya do with the who and the zoo? Chad l'moed b'mitzvah t'atayna, that you're indeed chay v'shvua, v'chad to teach us another din. L'moed b'mitzvah t'atayna. Which is another sugya that we're going to discuss later in the Masechta, which is known as the sugya of Tana Chitim V'Hoydeloi B'Soyrim, which means as follows. You come and you say that I owe you 100 bushels of wheat. I say, I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley. Is that considered Maida B'mixis or not? And Reb Chiya is teaching us that that is not considered that a situation of Maida B'mixis. And that's what we need the Pasuk for. Why isn't it a situation of Maida B'mixis? So the Rishonim offer a number of reasons. The simplest reason is, because Maida B'mixis means that I'm addressing you. If you didn't ask for Soirim, so then there's no Maida B'mixis. Another pshat is that we learned the concept at the end of Masechta Bavakama, the concept of Meshata Nibach, that the case that we learned there was as follows, that I was running away from prison, and I needed a ferry. So I said to him, I'll pay you whatever it is to get me across the river. So and we agreed to some sort of exorbitant fee, and then I say Meshata Bach, I didn't mean it. So normally, we would think that you could always say Meshata Nibach. And a Maida B'mixis maybe could also say Meshata Nibach. The Torah is Mechadish, you can't. Here, it's not I can't say Meshata Nibach. Why? Because the only time the Torah says I can't say Meshata Nibach is in a situation where you're saying I owe you something and I deny that specific claim. But if I'm not denying that specific claim, I could still say Meshata Nibach. Another pshat, which is very simple pshat, if you say I owe you wheat and I say I owe you barley, we're at a standstill, and therefore I don't have to pay it. That's what the Torah says, according to Reb Chiya, is not considered Maida B'mixis. Ask the Gemara V'idach, the other man, the Omer, that means the Avudah Aproitki, that uses one word to teach us the din of Maida B'mixis. And the other one to teach us there is no din of Maida B'mixis by Edim. Where will he know this din? Answers the Gemara. Maida Minatana Leslie. He'll hold Tana Chitim for Haida B'soyrim is in the category of Maida B'mixis. As we will learn, because there's a machloikis. Because he's going to hold the sub like Rebbe Gamliel. He's going to hold like Rebbe Gamliel. That now we're going to learn a Mishnah. So the Tanakhama holds its potter, that it's not considered Maidu Mixus. Rav Gamliel considers this still a case, Mechayiv or Maidu Mixus. Says the Gemara, there was this shepherd that every day the people in town would hand over their animals to him to take care of. And they were careful to do it besadi. They didn't trust this person. So they had Adam saying, watching how many were given, how much he's giving back. Yom Echad, one day, they did it below Sadi. They didn't have those witnesses there. L'saif, at the end of the day, they come to him and they tell him, L'hoyu dvar ma'ilim. He says, today you didn't give me any animals. I owe you nothing. Also Sadi, so they brought witnesses, Asid Bey, that could testify, Dochel tartim inayu, that he did eat two of the animals that were given to him to watch. So as the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, help us understand the Gemara. They say the Gemara here begins with a story. That every day they gave him the animals in front of witnesses, and one day they didn't use the witnesses. So the question is, why do we have to know this history? That every day it was this way, and this way it was different. We're talking about this day, where there are no witnesses. So I saw a number of terutzim in the Rishonim. One teretz that the Rishonim suggests is that the Gemara is just telling us the story. It gives us a whole picture. But there are other teretz that are very relevant. The one other teretz that's given is as follows. That normally we used witnesses. So why do we use witnesses? Because he obviously wasn't a reliable person. And that factor that he wasn't a reliable person, we're going to see in a moment in the Gemara, is a very relevant fact in how we're going to address this case. A third teretz that I saw, and we'll leave it with three teretzim, is as follows. Every day they used witnesses when they gave him the animals. That day there were no witnesses when they gave him the animals. So perhaps he should have a strong claim when he says, you didn't give me animals. Because if you gave me animals, where are the witnesses? Don't you use witnesses every day? So shouldn't that support his claim? Yet teaches us the Gemara, the fact that even though they had witnesses every day, and this day they didn't have witnesses, doesn't give him the namonis that what he's saying is true. And therefore, when they were able to bring witnesses, they ate two of the animals, we have a situation. Amar Zera. If we're going to agree what Rav Chiya has been teaching us for the last three shiurim, that when you have Moedah B'Mixus through Edim, he has to make a shvuah. This is a perfect case of Moedah B'Mixus with Edim. Let's think it through. We're claiming that we left animals by him. He's saying no, and we have Edim on some of the animals. So if we agree with Rav Chiya, we'd have to make a shvuah. And Taisa says, the fact that the Gemara uses these words of Im Isa should mislead us. It shouldn't lead us to believe that we don't paskin like Reb Chiya, because we do paskin like Reb Chiya. Now, who would have to swear? Im Isa Reb Chiya, Kamaisa, if we agree with Reb Chiya's original psak that we began this sugya, Mishtaba Shara, he would have to swear this would be considered a situation of Moed V'Mitzvahs. Amalei Abaya, says Abaya, Im Isa Mishtaba, you want us to let him swear? For Gazlan who? Isn't this individual a Gazlan? We know we have a track record, as I said a moment ago, that we don't trust him. Amalei, so he said, Hash Shekenegda Kamina. I don't mean he should swear. I mean that the other party should swear. Which means as follows. This is what we try to explain to Gemara. There are times where you're obligated to swear. But if you can't swear, then the other party swears. Why? Because we don't want there should be no shvua. Ask the Gemara, and if we don't agree with Reb Chiya, hash the nami, the leis Reb Chiya, and if we don't agree with Reb Chiya, and we don't consider this a situation of Maidu Mixus, nechayvei mid Reb Nachman, he still will have to swear. The Tanan, manali biyotcha, if I come to you and I say you owe me $100, and you say ein lecha biyodi, and you claim that you owe me nothing, Potter. But the Raisa is part of because it's a Kaifer HaKol. V'Rav Nachman, Mashbino is a Shavuos Heses. We still make you make a Shavuos Heses. And let's now try to understand the Gemara. Number one, we now have learned a very big Chiddush. The Chiddush we're learning now is that even though, as we've been learning for the last 3 days, that Kaifer HaKol, there is no Shavuos Midaraisa. There's only a Shavuos Midaraisa by Moed V'Mixas. The Rabbanon went and said that even by Kaifer HaKol, you have to make a Shavuos. If I say you owe me money and you completely deny it, you have to make a Shavuos Heses. Why is it called a Shavuos Heses? So I saw the Mefarshim explain, I saw the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gover, explains, because we're trying to get you to admit the truth. Heses, we're trying to convince you. More than that, we really don't want you to make the Shavuos, because it's not a Taraisa mandate Shavuos. And perhaps by telling you, you have to swear, you'll admit the truth. Furthermore, we're learning that if you have to make a Shavuos, but you're not a reliable individual, that I make the Shavuos and I collect. Ask Taisus, why? The Aloch is as follows, asked Taisus. What would be the deal if I come to you and I say you owe me $100? And you tell me 50 I owe, and 50 I just don't remember. What would be the deal? So, since you can't swear, it's not a regular Moed V'Mixas, you can't say for certain you don't owe me the second 50, you'll have to pay. So why here do I have to swear and collect? So Taisus says two beautiful terutzim. Taisus says like this. In the case where you can't swear because you don't remember, if you don't remember, pay. In this case, the guy is a gazlan. He could swear. We're not letting him swear. So if we're not letting him swear, so then it's our problem, and therefore the other party has to swear. That's one teretz Taisus gives. Then Taisus gives another teretz, beautiful teretz. Taisus says like this. If we're going to have a situation that if the person who we're doing business with is a gazlan and he can't swear, and because he can't swear he'll pay, then everybody in shul is going to want to do business with a gazlan. Why? Because I know that I can approach you, the gazlan, and say to you, you owe me money. Shavuos Heses, you have to swear. You can't swear, what are you going to have to do? Pay. So Chazal were worried about gazlanim also. They're also people. And therefore Chazal said, if the gazlan can't swear, the other party should swear. So to ask the Gemara, why is it only a problem we follow Rav Chiya? Even if we follow Rav Nachman, we should have to swear. So the Gemara, Rav Nachman is not an issue. Because as I just explained, Rav Nachman takantihi, the entire reason you have to swear according to Rav Nachman is only midrabanan, the takanta le takanta lo yavdinan. This concept that we learned that if you can't swear, the other party swears, is also drabanan. A double drabanan we don't impose. And I actually saw that the Shail Sechuvus B'Tzela Chochma uses this concept of takanta le takanta for a different area in halacha, but interesting area. We know that let's say we miss Shachris. Ba'oinis, you have to daven mincha twice. I'll give three examples. Let's say you know you won't be able to lay in the Megillah on Purim. So the Mishnah Masechet Megillah teaches us when you lay in the Megillah before Purim. Let's say you miss Havdalah Matzoi Shabbos. So the halacha is you can make Havdalah till Tuesday. What would be if you have a child, below bar mitzvah, miss Shachris? Does he have to daven mincha twice? Or the same by the Megillah? Or the same by the Avdalah? So the B'tzela Chachma says he wouldn't. Why? He says the entire chiyuv of davening by cotton is a drabonim. It's only a chinuch. And now our Gemara says, takanta le takanta lo yavdinen. A double drabonim we don't impose. And he wouldn't have to make up if he missed a tefillah. Interesting chiddush. Lahiris Nosson disagrees. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different problem. How can we suggest that he should swear? Typically, davele roya. Isn't he a shepherd? Vam Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to learn, stam roya, posel. Stam roya is not considered an honest person. How can we even suggest that he should swear? Answers the Gemara, loikasha. Hoda day, hoda alma. When is a roya considered a dishonest person? Regarding his own animals. Because he has no problem taking his animals into other people's fields. But my animal? Why should he steal from my animal? Dilai temahacha, if you won't understand the Gemara that way, we'll have a fundamental question. Anan chayusler of l'raya hech mechsrinan. How can we give an animal to a raya? V'ksiv lefnei ivel lo'sita michshol. And if a raya takes animals to other people's fields, I'm doing an Aveira by helping him do that on Aveira. El Chazaka in Adam Chayt V'Loy Loy. With my animal, he's not taking it to another field, and that's why we could give an animal to a Raya. So the Gemara is saying, since he's only watching other people's animals, he's not considered automatically a Gazel. As to Rishonim, even if he does take my animals into other people's fields, still not Lifnei Iver. Because what is the fundamental rule in Lifnei Iver? The fundamental rule of a Lifnei Iver is that only if he could do the Aveira, if he couldn't do the Aveira without me, it's called Trei Avad Nahara. He could take animals without my animal, so why is it considered Lifnei Iver? So the Ritva answers, you're right, the Gemara doesn't mean Lifnei Iver. The Gemara means Mesayeya. That's how Ritva learns. Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's Posh Pshat in the Ritva. I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman says a different Pshat. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses an interesting question. He says, let's say you own a hardware store. Are you allowed to sell pots to irreligious Jews? They're going to take the pot home and use it to cook non-kosher food. He says, that's not Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is when you help them do the Aveira. Here you sold them a pot. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if the Roya takes animals into other people's field, you're creating a situation that he could be a Gazlan. And that's what the Gemara means, according to Ritva, is awesome. Another pshat I saw in the Rishonim is a very interesting pshat. The more animals the Roya has, the more pasture he needs for them. So every animal you give him, you create a situation that's more likely he's going to take it to other people's fields, and that's why it's called Lifnei Iver. Says the Gemara. We go back to the beginning of the Masechta. Shnayim Oichsim Gatalus, two people are holding Gatalus. We learned that each one has to swear She'en Loi Ba Pachs Mechetzia, that he doesn't have less than 50%. Zamekul Shali. They make these two Shavuos. Ask the Gemara, Al the Islay Mishtaba, or Al the less than Mishtaba. Let's understand what he says. He says, I don't have less than 50%. What is that the Shavuah? Or is the Shavuah that I have at least 50%? Amar of Huna, what he has to say, the Shavuah Shiyesh Liba, he makes a Shavuah that I have 50%, that I own it, then Liba, Pachs Mechetzia. But I don't have less than 50. Ask the Gemara, why don't we make him make a shvuah what he's saying? V'neima, shouldn't he make a shvuah kula shali, that the entire talis belongs to me? Isn't that what he's claiming? Answers the Gemara, umi avina lekula. What's going to happen? If we're going to suggest, says the Gemara, that each one of them should make a shvuah that they have the entire talis, that they have the entire talis, but then as the Mishnah Paskin, we're only going to give each one of them half the talis, we, their Bezdin, look foolish. We made him make a shvuah that he has the whole talis, and then I'm only awarding him 50%. Ask the Gemara, so the name is shvuah shechetzi shali. So why do we have the shvuah set in a negative? Why don't we say, I have 50%? Says the Gemara, marilele debure. If he says that he owns the whole talis, and then I make him make a shvuah that he owns 50%, so I'm making him contradict his own words. So says the Gemara, hashta nami marilele debure. By making him swear that he doesn't have less than 50%, it's also creating a situation of a contradiction. That he's saying, I own a whole, but he's swearing I don't have less than half. Says the Gemara, what has to happen is as follows. He has to first start with a statement. Kula shali. And Zmachlok Rishonim, how to understand this words of the Gemara. Some Rishonim said that that's part of the Shavuah. Part of the process. First, he has to make a clear declaration, I own the whole talis. Some say the declaration is not essential. And then he continues, Ud Vrechem, you, Bezdin, who now have a problem what to do here, I'm telling you, Shavuah Sheyesh Li Ba, I'm telling you I am the owner of this talis, Ve'en Li Ba Pachas Mehachya. But I don't have less than half. Ask the Gemara, and we referenced this on Daf Gimel Amar Aleph, V'chime Achsh Zeh Tofes V'oymed, V'zeh Tofes V'oymed. We have these two individuals standing here, holding the talis, and arguing over it. So why do we have to make a Shavuah? Shavuah Zulama. What's the point of the Shavuah? Should we just go, Yachleiku, and divide it without the Shavuah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Reb Yochanan, the reason Chazal instituted the Shavuah, Shavuah Zut HaKonis Chachamihi, everybody will start grabbing everybody else's talis. because they have nothing to lose. Voy mishalihu. And therefore, Chazal imposed the Shvuah, and that will prevent them from doing this. Ask the Gemara, if we're concerned that we have individuals that will grab other people's talasim, so the name of Migad Chashim and Minor, that we could accuse this person of acting this way and taking other people's talasim, Chashir HaShvuasa, then we should be concerned that he's going to make a false Shvuah. Answers the Gemara, We don't subscribe to that. And as the Rishonim explain, people, and I keep on repeating this, people are more concerned about making a full shvuah than taking somebody else's mammon. The simple reason is because mammon I can always return. Once I make a full shvuah, I can't change that. Another pshat, Taisa says, is that the pasuk says, the Medrash says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Seres HaDibris that you're not going to make a Shvuah Shav, Nizdaza Kol Aretz, the entire world trembled. So we see that Shvuah Shav is a very serious Aveira. Moreover, if we look in the pasuk in the Seres HaDibris, the Torah says, Lo Yinaka, Eitzah Sheyisa Shmoy L'Shav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forgive such an individual. And that's why Shvuah Shav is much more serious than anything else. Loyaminin, says the Gemara, Migi Dechashav Emayna Chashav Shvuasa. For says the Gemara, Dilay Temahachi, if we follow such a principle, Haidam Rachmana. We've been discussing over the last couple of shiurim the concept of Maida Mixis. Haidam Rachmana. Maida Mixis Atayni Yishava. Neima, why aren't we concerned that Migi Dechashav Emayna? Why, if we're really concerned that this person is being dishonest in his claim, should we not be concerned that Chasha Shavuasa? Says, well, that's not a question. Because as Rava taught us, Hasam ishtamute kom shtamit. Lay, kid Rava. It's not that I'm a bad person. I'm just trying to buy time. Teda, and I'll prove to you that just because somebody denies owing money, that doesn't make him into a bad person, doesn't make him into a liar. As we learned in the previous year, Dom Rav Yidibar, Oven Amrav Chizda, HaKoifa B'milva, if I deny owing you money, I'm still Koshal Edis. Only B'Kadin Koshal Edis. So that's not a question why the Torah makes somebody who's a Maida B'Mixa swear. That isn't a contradiction to the question if somebody's Koshal B'Maina Chosh Ashvasa. Says the Gemara, the proof is from a different Gemara. Well, the Gemara we began today, Shiwit. Therefore, Shaymet of Mechuy of Shvu Midaraisa said, Rabbi Bachama, we have to have a situation of Maida Mixis. What are those people? Shamechinim Vashoyal, Naisasacha Vasoicher. So the question is, how can we make this person swear? If we're concerned that he's stole the Bikadin, why don't we say, Name Amiga the Chashra Mamayna Chashra Shvuasa? Says the Gemara Hasanami. We're not quick to assume that he's a ganav. It's just ishtamutika mishtama. He's just trying to buy time. Sover mishkachna leganav. He's a shaymas sacher who's chai for gneva veveda, and the item got stolen, and he hopes to find the ganav v'tafisnalei and be able to return what was stolen. Inami mishkachna blagan. The item got lost, and again we're referring to shaymas sacher who's chai for veda, and he figures, I'll go search for it, my sinaloi. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we make an excuse for somebody who's kaifer b'kadin. They're just trying to buy time, so we just learned the Gemara a moment ago. Ha-kaifer b'kadin is pasuleidus. Why is he automatically pasuleidus? Ihachi, ha-kaifer b'kadin, my pasuleidus. Why don't we say, Nami, Nami, why don't we say, ishtamutika mishtamit? I'm going to sover ad b'chashna mekashkanai. I'm just trying to find it. Answers the Gemara. Ki aminin akayf b'kadin pasuleidus. Indeed, you're right. Just because somebody denies owing a b'kadin doesn't make him into a kafrin. It's only in a specific case. Kigoy, where you approached me and said, give me back the b'kadin. And I said, and I started making excuses. It was stolen, it was lost. Or other excuses. And Adim come and say, Vasidibai, that he shot the Isla Bikadin. That at that moment I had the Bikadin. Vuhu Yoda. And I know, and then we know that I had the Bikadin. Inami Davinokla Biyode. So there we can't make an excuse. So what the Gemara now is doing is as follows. Let's just review. The Gemara is saying that Migid Chosha Mamoina, just because we're concerned that a person might have kept something that's not his, that's not make him a liar that he's going to swear falsely. Because swearing falsely is a whole different realm. And certainly, therefore, if I owe you money, and I deny owing you the money, I'm not considered a Chosha Rashvasa, I'm just trying to buy time. And not only, says the Gemara, is that a din by Milva, but even by Bekadin, will make the excuse that I'm trying to buy time, unless we know that you were specifically lying. If we know that you were specifically lying when you were making an excuse where you knew the excuse was patently false and you had no reason to try to buy time, then you're considered kafir. Ask the Gemara, El Ha Dam Rav Huna, Mashbin Oisei Shvua, Shein Rishusai. The halach is that let's say you left something by me, pekadin by me. And you come to me and I say, and you say to me, give me back the pekadin. I say, you got stolen, lost. Every shomer besides the shoil has the excuse of oinus. So the Torah tells us I have to swear. I don't want to swear. As we're learning, swearing is serious. I want to just pay. So halach is, Damar Afuna, Chazal were concerned that I really want to hold on to the item. I like what you left by me. I'm just saying that I got something happened to it, and I'm willing to pay. I'm not a ganef. Why don't we say name and migad chashav and mine chashav v'shuasa that I'm ready to keep your item? I should be not trusted for shvua. Hasam nami moed v'amet dami kayev nalei. By me saying that I'm ready to pay proves that I'm not a ganef. Even if I'm not a ganef, but am I not over on like sachmoid that you left an item by me and I want to keep it? So shouldn't that prove that I'm a bad person? Says the Gemara, this is the way the Mepharshim explained the Gemara, I don't think I'm being over like sachmoid. Why do I think I'm not being over like sachmoid? Because when is there an issa like sachmoid in people's mind? And people's mind are only overlay sachman if they don't pay for it. Here you left an item by me. I want to keep it. But I'm ready to pay. So I'm not a ganef because I'm paying for it. I'm in my mind, I'm not overlay sachmoid because if I'm paying, I'm not overlay sachmoid. So first of all, this Gemara is a very important Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch discusses this. The Shulchan Aruch says we have people, this comes up all the time, that we see our over our veris. So those people automatically become posseladus. So says the Shulchan Aruch, based on this Gemara, if somebody does an Aveira, but in his mind it's not an Aveira, he doesn't become possel. Just like Al Gemara says, somebody thinks he's Oivalei Sachmoid, but he's really not Oivalei Sachmoid, he's not possel, he's not considered a Ganef. He's not considered a posseladus. There are very few sugyas in Shas about Leisachmoid. So let's take a few moments to speak about it. First of all, when we look in the Saras Adibris, in Parshas Yisra, in Parshas Veschanan, the Torah adds another word. Besides Leisachmoid, the Torah adds Leisasava. So the Rishonim say that even if a person pays for the item that he wanted, he's not over Leisachmoid, Leisasava he is over. Again, but people don't know that. What is the Halach Lemaisa? If I pay you for an item, am I overly sachman or not? So Taisa says, la loch lemaisa, that if I want something of yours, and then I don't pay, and I pay for it, there's no iss of loy sachman. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that if I pay for it forcefully, I force you to take the money, then I'm not overly, then I'm overly sachman. If I pay for it, but you agree to take the money, even though I sort of had a strong arm you to agree, then I'm not over Leisachman. Only if I forced you to take the money. The Rambam is the most machmer. The Rambam says that even if I'm over, even if I convinced you, but I keep on pressing you, the word of the Rambam is maftzer boy, then I'm over Leisachman. The Shalz Chus Betzel Chachma says, what is considered according to Rama Maftzer? So he says, if I had to go to you three times to sell me something that you didn't really want to sell? Even though at the end you agree to sell and you take the money, according to Rambam, you're over le'sachmait. Another interesting shaila, machloikis, is what is going to be the halacha that you have a sefer, a dvar mitzvah that you have, that I much, very much want. And I force you, or according to Rambam, according to the Ravid, or according to Rambam, mafzer, till you sell it to me. Are you over le'sachmait? So machloikis. Some paiskim say by dvar mitzvah there is no lois sachmait. Other paiskim say that even by dvar mitzvah there's an isser of lois sachmait. Two interesting points. Devin Ezra says lois sachmait is a serious aveira. It's one of the seris of dibris. So he asks, you know, a mitzvah, an aveira that is dependent on action is very easy to legislate. Do something, don't do something. Sachman is in the mind, it's in the heart. How could the Torah tell us, don't want something? You walk by your neighbor's house, he has a gorgeous house, he has a gorgeous car. And we're human beings, we're jealous. How could the Torah tell us not to be jealous? So he answers, there is a way how to prevent Leisachmite, with Amunah B'tochen. A Jew who lives with Amunah B'tochen knows that whatever he's supposed to have, he has. And whatever he doesn't have is because Hashem doesn't want him to have it. A Jew that lives with emunah b'tochen will never fall into leisachmait, Devin Ezra says. One more beautiful word from the Leif Simcha. The Leif Simcha says, we find most people are pretty careful with the seris adibris. But if you, again, this is what he says, if you would have to pick which is the aveira, people don't even think of it as an aveira, the people are most nichshol from the Saras Adibris, it's like Sachmid. People are jealous. Why from all the Averis in the Saras Adibris is the hardest Avera like Sachmid? So he says a very interesting word. He says, the Medrash says, trying to explain it in our language, that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave one of the Dibris, the whole world got full of that Dibur. And there was no room for the Dibur, for another Dibur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Ruach, and he caused that the Dibur should go away. So the first Dibur, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a wind and went away. We got the second Dibur. And that weakened, that helped us overcome and or be able to become the Dibur. Leisachmid is the last of the Seres Dibris. There was no Ruach after the Leisachmid. So Bleib left that people are Chaymid.